Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 297, part 2, the conclusion to Direction. Today is Sunday, June 23rd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I wonder, now you're listening on the radio then, and you're into law keeping and all of this, and you're just, oh, you're into this terrible law keeping, and it's not filling your needs, and you know it. Why not just be honest and say, you know what, this is not meeting my need. Something is missing. Well, Jesus Christ is missing. Jesus Christ is life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. This, the Word of God, without Jesus Christ in it, without salvation in it, without forever, ever, 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 ever salvation in it, will kill you dead. Why don't you just admit it? And with all his getting, he had not found the way to peace. Speaking of Nicodemus again. He had not found his way to joy or love or kindness or good temper or generosity or fidelity or self-control. And he knew there was something missing. And with all of his achievements, his heart was still hot and restless, hungry and lonesome and bitter and resentful and full of inner conflicts and jealous fractions and idolatry and strife and enmities and works of the flesh, trying to work it up, trying to work it up. You ever seen people trying to work it up? Work it up, huh? Come on, let's get into high praise now. Ooh, now a little more. Ooh, come on now. Ooh. Okay, now right from your very toes. Think from your toes up. From your toes now, up to your knees. Oh, the toe bone connects you to the ankle bone. All the way up, all the way up. Go, go, let's go. Ooh. Okay, a little louder. Ooh, a little louder. Ooh. Have you ever seen groups like that? Oh, I've been in them. I haven't stayed very long. Once in a while, he used to use my church on Saturday. I could never get into it. Never, ever, ever. I couldn't get into it because it wasn't real. Trying to work up some lazy, flabby, stinking flesh with words instead of work. With smiles and curtsies instead of challenge. Do you think that's being kind? It's not being kind. And it leaves people with all these works of the flesh. They're always bottled up in one's heart. People who live by the letter, they got all these things bottled up in their heart. They are mean. They are restless. They are hungry and lonesome and bitter and resentful, full of inner conflicts. Striving. Can't be real anymore. You got to put on this certain smile and certain little cliches and certain things we say. And you can't have your own personality anymore. You got to belong to the religious club. Oh, praise God for differences in people. Right? Would you want everybody to be just like you? Well, nobody knows us like us. Nobody knows me like me. I wouldn't want everybody to be like me. Would you want everybody to be like you? I'm just trying to bring it about, folks, that God's love goes beyond you in spite of us. Isn't that great? I mean, not that we're total wimps. And not that we're total failures. I'm not trying to bring that across. No, I'm not. But we certainly know all of our own shortcomings. And so no way can we go for a law that makes us more miserable. Why are you that way? Change or burn. Huh? No. Ever seen these tracks they put out? And it shows a great big pit. And it shows bodies turned this way and that way. And they're all going down to hell. You ever seen those tracks? Receive or burn? Have you ever seen those real legal things? Yeah, they condemn everything else. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want any rockets on our farm over here, and we don't want none. Oh, we're against all this, and we're against that, and we're against this, and we're against that. What are you for? What in the world, and I have to say the world because you're in it. What in the world are you for? Are you for anything? I mean, beside yourself, excuse, pardon me. What are you for? And these people that are against everything. Legal beagles. They're always acting out of part while falling apart. And they get nervous and they just get all balled up and bound up. And they just, oh man, they just sort of get dangerous. You ever seen a preacher get dangerous like that when he's under legal stress and strain? Oh, lips quiver. Oh man, what a way to be. I mean, you almost feel like, there's one guy, he's a friend of mine too, and I almost felt like, man, I feel like, you know what you need, I thought to myself, he was preaching a good swift kick in the pants to bring you it back to reality. Now, the reason that you're so nervous and so upset is because nobody can be as good as what you're preaching. You certainly haven't made it, and you know it makes you mad. You're frustrated. Why don't you just be yourself and let, you know, the inward changes happen as they change. And so they're always acting out apart while falling apart. They quote scriptures. They sing songs. They stomp. They roll. They holler. They say, get right with God. They say, we're free. We are. We're free. Man, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they say we're free, but bind up others like themselves with a sort of a hearsay religion. No fun in it at all. let's get down to business. Now, I'm not saying that we act like total fools or chessy cats all the time. Always running their flesh to the altar to get saved over and over. Is there anyone in here? There is a person in this audience. I remember I used to watch them when they'd fleece these guys at these tents. And I come out of the, I mean, I was a con when I was in the world, and I'd say, this guy is on a fleece. You know what I mean? I have to be honest, those are my thoughts. Oh, how could you ever think those thoughts? You're a preacher. Don't you try? No, my discerners were working. They were working. God is convicting you. There's sin in your life. He's telling you right now there's someone in the audience that needs to repent. There's also someone in the audience out there. I don't know exactly where you're at right now, but God's speaking to you to give $1,000. Oh, wait a minute. It's coming. Oh, it's clear now. $2,000. Their religion condemns them halfway up the aisle of getting right with God tonight. They get up and they get right with God. And you watch them. You're sitting in the back and you watch them. And they're walking back and they're not right with God again. They go back to their seat again and they're not right again. Oh, it worked when I was at the altar. It ain't working, huh? That's the kind of religion that Nicodemus had. That's the kind of thing he had. He couldn't understand that ye must be born again. Simple. He couldn't understand it. It was too simple. He'd have to lay down all of his learning, all of his books, and all of his notes. And that's what's happening today. People hate to give up all that they've learned over the last 14 years. Always restless and always hungry. You know, I believe more than all else, it was his gnawing hunger. It was his burning thirst that sent him to meet Jesus Christ. The salt made him thirsty. And also, I believe this professor had courage. It says in the Bible, he came by night. He had a timid courage, but it was courage. And so, the next time we meet Nicodemus is right after that the Pharisees have sent the police to arrest Jesus. But you know what? The Bible says they return, and they return empty-handed. And they ask him, why didn't you bring him? You tell him, the one guy says. No, you tell him. Well, speak up. Where is he? And so red-faced, these officers reply, never man spoke like this man. There's just something about this man. He spoke with an authority. And so by now the Pharisees were jumping on their loophole religion with no provision. They had lost their vision. They were mad. They were so mad they couldn't even see straight. They asked, have any of the authorities or Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, who do not know the law, are accursed. Getting back at the congregation, see. And so Nicodemus here, in a sort of a timid way, but nevertheless he does it, speaks out in our master's defense, and listen to what he says. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? Now, this probably isn't as bold as Paul would have answered, but at least he spoke up. Oh my God, how I love people who will speak up. He could see even the law was failing. Paul says in the Word, make love your aim. I mean, if you're going to shoot for something, make love your aim. Your, in other words, the original, make it your life's purpose. 1 Corinthians 14:1. And so you see, love was not their aim. Their love was sort of ingrown, like an ingrown toenail had to be cut out. They had remained immature. And you know why? Because they were immature in their love. If you're immature in your love and your dedication, I'm talking about, and your obedience to God, I'm talking about, you're immature. And so these people have been busy taking in and not giving out, always receiving and never giving anything out. So they never grew, really. And they talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and they studied about it, and they talked about it, and we got a lot of them right now. But they never grew. They never took what they had learned and worked it into an experience and worked it out, what had been worked in. See, our flesh will act out what we take and feed it. I remember my mother one time, a guy came up. She says, "You are what you eat." And here comes a man. He has a hot beef sandwich every day. He's been having it for 15 years. Now, my mother had worked too long. She should have retired a long time ago. And the guy says, "I'll take a hot beef sandwich." She says, "Yes, and you look like a hot beef sandwich." It wasn't a nice thing to say, but it was the truth. We are what we take in. What are you taking in? Who's talking to you? Sometimes we're more apt to listen to the devil and to suspicions and to our imagination rather than good counsel. You ever try to counsel somebody that will not be counseled? Will not be counseled. Love must become our flesh. And how does that happen? By loving to do the will of God. It becomes part of you. By giving all of me, why not take all of me? Take my arms, take my legs, take my lips, take my eyes, take my ears. Why don't you take all of me? By giving all of yourself. And dedicating all of yourself and having the right direction and be oriented towards God. And then you start to obey. If you obey me, you love me. If you obey me, you become what you aim for. You become what you take in. Well, the world even says that. You get what you give. See, our flesh will act out while we feed it. Now, you whoop on a kid all the time and slap him up alongside of the head all the time and argue with that kid all the time and call him, that kid, a dummy, and "I don't want you in my face," and "get out of my face and leave me alone" all the time. Well, look out. Look out. You hearing it? You're going to get back just exactly what you gave it. Right? And it's the same way with us. Whatever we feed ourselves, we're going to act out somewhere along the line. See, their religion had failed them, but love never fails, it says in the Bible. It's always expressing itself, and when it expresses itself, itself becomes a success. Now, even if you don't feel like giving out love, and you give out love, you're a success. Why? Because the Word says so. Not because you didn't feel like giving it. You obeyed and gave it when you didn't feel like it. And so, by practicing that, and practicing that, rather than "shut up, get out of my face," and you practice giving out love. Now, love sometimes is disciplining. Of course, I realize that. But I'm talking about a person that's a habitual griper. I'm talking about an experience. For in expressing itself, it makes the person more loving. Doesn't it? Even if the other person doesn't accept that love. Even if they don't want it. "I don't want it." You're better off for giving it. Maybe someone will come to visit you that's done you some kind of all terrible wrong. No. And you're going to withhold love. It'll be withheld from you. Oh, someone that's just really done you dirt, okay? Has embarrassed you, made you feel bad and cried. Oh, Monday, you know, and all of this, and you just feel so terrible. Oh, God, I'm blue. The idea, the gall to come and see me after all of this. No, you're going to be better off if you show love. Because the Word of God says, if you express love, that expression becomes you. You are what you express. You know what? After a while, it gets easier. Preachers, are you listening? It gets easier. Easier and easier and easier and easier. And you know who it's easier for? You. You know who it's easier on? You. You know who it's harder on? Them. It's challenging them to change. Isn't that weird? Huh? You know something? It wakes. I said, it wakes. Now someone's on the radio saying, doesn't even know how to say works. I know how to say works, but I just wanted to say wakes. One guy sent me a tape of his pastor's. Listen to the perfect diction of our pastor. And the way he pronounces his words. I mean, big round O's and orange-ash. And I thought, well, that's great. I mean, that's the way he talks. But I would just look terrible talking like that. You know what I mean? Sorry, that's not me. See, our very purpose in life is fulfilled even if you don't see the results in your loving. It doesn't have to show up, right? There's no result. I don't see any change in that person. The change is in you. You let go. Always the person that will let go. No, even if your flesh says, no, I don't want to let go. Let go. It's loving to let go. It's the highest form of love to let go. I'm not talking about letting go with your fist either. I'm let go with your love. Let her fly! Oh, no, I'm not talking about that kind of love. See, because you're fulfilled because you become a loving person. And you have the rest of the fruit will come along. The joy and the peace and all the other things will come your way. I mean, that's the highest calling. Paul says, I show you a better way. Love. I mean, that's better than all the other things? Yep. Now, here, Nicodemus saw the results of the law, evil. Flesh at its worst. Jealousy, full of pride, versus Jesus Christ's love and forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, with all that he put up with, and I read it in the Bible, all the things, imprisonments and so on, and I read all that. Tumults, and we went through the whole thing. Here we have a teacher, a ruler, that sees it firsthand. He sees flesh at its worst. And he sees Jesus Christ giving out love and forgiveness. Well, it took courage, of course. Maybe it was timid, but really a courageous man is one who follows the path of duty even though his whole body is shaking. even though he's so fearful that he's sick in his stomach, and he just goes ahead and does it anyway. Huh? You know, sometimes when you don't say anything, you know, people will think you're ignorant. Well, you, sometimes when you do say something, you are ignorant. Just let the thing go. If it isn't worth the time to argue with, don't you understand? Nicodemus was doing that very, very thing right here. He was timid, his whole body was shaking, but he carried through. And so now let's go back and follow this cautious scholar as he goes to Jesus. First he says, "We know that thou art a teacher from God." And listen to Jesus' reply to this compliment. It seems sort of irrelevant. It seems sort of disconnected. But our master is speaking home, not the words of the professor's lips, but the longing of his heart. See, people aren't always saying what they're saying. This is something we all need to know. People are not always saying what they're saying. They're saying one thing, my mother used to say, but they're meaning another. Look for the hidden meaning. And don't look for it too hard, make it a great big thing, she says. But people will say things, but they're really looking for something else. And so they say one thing, but they're meaning another thing. Also, the Bible says a kind word turns away wrath. Isn't that what people want anyway? Isn't it? Someone says, "You know what? You're dumb." I don't say, "Well, that makes two of us." I say, "Yeah, I've been kind of thinking about that myself." I need help. I'll admit that. Something like that, see. But keep it in a light, kind tone. I'm not saying you're always going to do that, but if you do that, I'll tell you something. You'll find out that it works. I know. I've tried it a lot of times. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We don't have to hold classes on how to be born again. Do babies go to classes before they're born? Do they? But really, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "You are not satisfied." That's what he's really saying. That's what he's really, really saying. In spite of your life of service to the church, you have found no reality. And you'll never find it until you are born again. And how can this be? Nicodemus asked in amazement. Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet do not understand this?" And so new birth, and I'll wrap it up here, is a fact of experience. You're listening out there on the radio. I know there's a lot of confusion on salvation. There's so many different radio preachers. It's simply an experience. People will call in. They say, "Do you mean to tell me that all I have to do is confess my mouth and believe my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and I'll be saved?" I said, "Well, what else could you possibly do? Well, you want to open up a hot dog stand and sell hot dogs and pass out tracts for 10 years and then ask? I mean, what do you want to do? What's your thing? I mean, what do you think?" See, and the Bible says, I said, "Sir, not to lean on your own understanding." You just ask, simply ask, and you receive. That's all there is to it. "Well, there must be something more to it." No, there's nothing more to it. I think right now we need to tell people that our spiritual birth is very, very necessary. And no amount of culture, no amount of decency, no amount of devotion, no amount of morality, nothing can take the place of simply being born again. How many in here know what I'm talking about? God, that's all it is. That's all it is. Well, let me close this message. What did this interview do for Nicodemus? Does he go away singing? "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." No. Does he go away singing, "I got the joy of Jesus down in my heart. I got the joy"? No. No. The words of Jesus have thrilled him, yeah. But he can't sing with his heart. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." But after that Jesus died, the Bible says that Nicodemus took 100 pounds of myrrh, way far too much, in sort of, I think, a pathetic effort to express his unspoken love and to make up for the past. I think there's a lot of sorrows, but I think there's no more sorrow than a person that tries to do something for someone to make up for something they did after they're dead. Think about that, you listening on the radio. If you're going to say you're sorry, if you've got some kind of thing you've got to do, do it now. Don't wait until the person has passed away. And so Nicodemus lost much by not coming sooner, but the fact remains he did come. And if there's any of you listening on the radio, anybody listening to this tape, have received Jesus as Savior and Lord, do so right now. Love awaits you. The love tree. The love tree is waiting for you. While our school system says, know the facts and the relationships, and that will redeem you. But look at our atom bombs and H-bombs. Have you heard this message tonight? Love God, in short. Love your neighbor, and that fulfills the law. That is, to the best of your abilities. See, love is like water. It creates power for light. It touches a plant and gives it life. Do you have any love today? You listening on the radio? Then keep on growing. So that anything derogatory, if someone says some derogatory thing about you, well, you say, well, hey, you're talking about that guy that I knew yesterday. He's passed away. Behold, this is a new thing. Yeah, I really believe that what this guy did yesterday, he was a stinker. Now, this is a new me. What are we going to do with this one? What are you going to do with this one right here? Now, that's what I did yesterday. Yeah, listen now. You listen on the radio. And I'll just speak for myself. Speak for myself here. Maybe you've known something, or maybe something about you. Maybe something that's transpired in your lives. Something has happened to you. And now here you are. What are people going to do with you today? Huh? Maybe you were a total stinker yesterday and someone throws that up to you. You see, I agree with that. I was a stinker. But what are you going to do with me now? Okay, you listen on the radio. What are you going to do with that brother or that sister or that mother or that cousin or the friend or whatever that you remember something from 1948, and now what are you going to do with them right now? Now, what are you going to do with them? And keep giving love away to the good and to the bad and to the indifferent. In everything that happens, look for that growing point. Every disturbance can disturb you towards loving somebody. Oh, it's hard to do, but I tell you what, being down here in this ministry down here and the things that it entails, you know, a ministry like this and the pulling away from suburbia and the pulling away from all of that, you know, it causes some kind of, but what are you going to do with that person today? Someone called me, and this is about a week ago. No, 2 weeks ago. And he says, I'll never forget what happened to me. Every time I see that person, oh, it has irked me to death. I said, what are you going to do with that person today? You know, I says, now this person's forgot all about that. And you're still on this thing. What are you going to do with that person today? Whatever you give that person today, you're going to get back. Whatever you feed yourself. What are you feeding yourself? Well, feed yourself love. And you can only feed yourself love by giving love away. It's the law of a return thing, see. It's a giving and a getting back. It goes from you to the person, to God and back to you, see. That's the way it goes. Round and around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And in a way, what you're doing down here in the mission totally is love. Because I'll tell you what, your flesh does not want to do it. It'll try to find more reasons for el hico, de defumol. It will want it. Or not to come anio or whatever. But you get into so much loving what you're doing and so dedicated to what you're doing. That's what's happened to you guys right now. You are into it. Every once in a while, maybe your flesh and our flesh will say, oh, no. But we're into it. You're just so into it, you can't get out of it. It's become part of you. Isn't that wild? It's become part of you. You ever wonder why these guys that go off to Africa and China and they go all over and they're over there 4 or 5 years and then they come back and then they have all these pictures of Raja Maja and all this and then a little kid or Rama Tama and all of a sudden you say, where are you going? Oh, I'm going back. I just really feel God wants me to go back there. Huh? And you wonder, who'd ever want to go back there? He's part of it. This is my life, working the mission, doing this type of work down here. You know what I mean? And it looks crazy to someone else, but it's become part of me. Isn't that wild? Now, I'm not talking about pod people. I'm talking about it's become part of you. The life of Christ is a total always giving all the time. And that's love, just giving, even when you don't feel like it. Jesus even said, how long will I be with you? How long do I have to contend with you? But he was still with him. And the Bible says he'll never leave. Lord, I want to thank you for this audience here tonight. And I want to thank you, Lord, for these great people, dedicated mission workers. And thank you for the radio people that have been sending cash in here and helping us out in this mission. God bless each and every one in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
That was episode 297. That was part two, the conclusion to direction. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. Next Friday's message, joy. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks.
may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton. Might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey. Might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor. Sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
somebody. Serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. What you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.